One of Dr. Martin Luther's convictions was that the Bible, the Word of God, should be available in the vernacular for the laity. He was absolutely correct in this conviction. The Bible needed to be translated from Greek and Hebrew in order to be understood by the man or woman in the pew using the vernacular language. Now, far be it from me to discourage anyone from learning Hebrew in order to read Ezekiel in his native tongue. On the other hand, our text today clearly shows how right Luther was in expecting God to be able to speak in any vernacular. There is absolutely no doubt who the actor is in our text. God tells Ezekiel to proclaim to the people of Israel, "Thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name." The text that follows is a long succession of I wills. God's I will, I will, I will echoes throughout this section, clearly showing God as the one acting and his people as the ones receiving. Our text, even in English, makes God's initiative in acting for his people crystal clear. There are only two places where God's people appear as actors. At the beginning of our text, however, the action of the people is a negative one. "And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them." The only accomplishments of which God's people can boast are negative accomplishments, not quite the kind of thing you might want to tweet home about. Only in the last verse in our reading does it appear that God's people can do something positive. "You shall dwell in the land." That dwelling, however, is dependent on what God has already done. "You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers." The last phrase in this same verse also does not give God's people anything of which to boast. "You shall be my people, and I will be your God." God's people are not that because of their own choice, their own action, their own merits, but because God has already become their God. As you listened to the text being read today, you might have thought that our text today is the same one as the Old Testament reading for last Sunday. You probably heard the text on Sunday morning. You also heard it in the opening service on Sunday afternoon. There were a series of I wills as God spoke about what he would do. There is a lot of similarity between the two texts, but our reading today is not the same text. The text on Sunday was from the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, two chapters before our text today. Why should God explain so clearly to his people what he was going to do, showing himself as the initiator of his own actions and the only sole actor, and then have to tell them again two chapters later what he is going to do, showing himself as the only actor in his people's salvation? I might as well ask why I can explain something very clearly to my almost 9-year-old son one evening and then have to tell him almost the same thing the next evening. Because the answer is the same. We have indeed been made children of God in baptism. There is God's initiative again in our own Christian life. Having been baptized into the death of Christ and having become a member of God's kingdom, one of God's children. But as children of God, we have more in common with our own children than we might want to admit. While we live on this earth in our sin-stained flesh inherited from Adam, we have the same difficulty listening to God, our Father, as our children often have listening to us. So God meets us where we are and repeats what he has already said. He tells us again and again what he has done for our salvation, having sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. He tells us again and again that he has accomplished our salvation for us. He tells us again and again that we have no power to effect anything spiritually positive on our own. In the same way, we review what our Christian identity makes us by reciting the commandments and other portions of the Catechism. We recognize thereby that we do keep forgetting to love our God as we should. At the same time, we recognize that God has loved us for his own sake and for the sake of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, and continues to love us as his children. We recognize that God has indeed given us a new heart and a new spirit. The very next verse following the end of our reading gives another, "I will." "And I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses." Our cry, "Hosanna, deliver us or save us," is not only a petition to God to do that, but a cry of rejoicing, since we know that God has delivered us from our uncleannesses by the death of Jesus Christ. God said that he would do it, and he did. Because we know that God has acted in the past, because we know that we need his continued help, we can confidently come to him and ask him to renew us, to remove the power of sin from us, to create a new heart in us, and to grant us to love him only. God will do it because he doesn't need our help. He acts on his own initiative to help his people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.